Вариант 11.
Сейчас вы будете выполнять задание по аудированию. Каждый текст прозвучит два раза. После первого и второго прослушивания у вас будет время для выполнения и проверки заданий. Все паузы включены в аудиозапись. Остановка и повторное воспроизведение аудиозаписи не предусмотрены. По окончании выполнения всего раздела «Аудирование» перенесите свои ответы в бланк ответов номер один. Задание 1. Вы услышите 6 высказываний. Установите соответствие между высказываниями каждого говорящего «AF» и утверждениями, данными в списке 1-7. Используйте каждое утверждение, обозначенное соответствующей цифрой, только один раз. В задании есть одно лишнее утверждение. Вы услышите запись дважды. Занесите свои ответы в таблицу. У вас есть 20 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданием.
Now we are ready to start. Speaker A.
Monarchy sounds pretty cool. A king, queen, prince or princess, royal ceremonies and weddings. But when it comes to making important decisions, the fate of the country is left to chance. Monarchy is having one person with absolute power, and that person can overrule any decision. Is it fair if your family has worked hard for 3 generations and then someone comes in and takes away everything you have? If you have a bad king or queen, you are in big trouble for a long time because you can't vote out a monarch.
Speaker B.
Who needs democracy nowadays? The politicians misuse the rights given to them. On the contrary, monarchy, if used right, could be very effective. It works very well because the monarch can really get things done as he has no Congress or Parliament to convince to do things his way. The monarch acts like a president, but he has years of experience to add to the role of government advisor, having worked with many political parties over the years. My country is ruled by the monarchy. The prince and princess are nice people, and they've done a lot for our country.
Speaker C.
In reality, there are a lot of people who feel that monarchy is an expensive anachronism. In the UK, the monarchy is not nearly as costly to the taxpayers as some people think it is. They make far more money for Great Britain than they receive. The tourist trade became huge in the last century, much of it made from the royalty. The royals also raise enormous amounts of money for charities by being patrons of them. Besides, we do not have to elect a president, and this alone saves a lot of money. I'm sure Britain would be far less well off as a republic.
Speaker D.
The monarchy is thousands of years old, and it's steeped in tradition. One can say that the monarchy is a bit outdated, but it does have lots of advantages. First, it attracts plenty of tourists who love visiting Britain because of its rich cultural and historic heritage, which is mostly due to the royals. Everyone loves the royals, and they want to see Buckingham Palace. Did you see how many people were present at the wedding of Prince William and Princess Kate? Abolishing the monarchy would be the same as knocking down the Tower of London.
Speaker E.
The most well-organized nations in Europe are all monarchies. I don't think this is a coincidence. I think having a neutral monarch provides strength and unity in the country. The monarch provides a sense of continuity in terms of political and social change. While political parties change constantly, the sovereign continues as head of state, providing a stable framework within which a government can introduce wide-ranging reforms. And at least one part of the government is always there. Elected parties come and go, but the monarch is always there to ensure that the elected government is put in place.
Speaker F.
I would say most of us are a bit indifferent in our opinions on monarchy. Having never lived under a monarchy, we mostly don't have sufficient experience to really know what it is like to be under a monarch. However, I can't see any significant difference between a monarchy and a republic. Most of the Western European republics are almost no different in constitution from monarchy, except that they have a president instead of a king or queen to do formal stuff like summoning and dissolving parliament, calling elections, and appointing the prime minister. So, from a governmental point of view, there's absolutely no benefit.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now, you will hear the texts again. Speaker A.
Monarchy sounds pretty cool. A king, queen, prince or princess, royal ceremonies and weddings. But when it comes to making important decisions, the fate of the country is left to chance. Monarchy is having one person with absolute power, and that person can overrule any decision. Is it fair if your family has worked hard for 3 generations and then someone comes in and takes away everything you have? If you have a bad king or queen, you are in big trouble for a long time, because you can't vote out a monarch.
Speaker B.
Who needs democracy nowadays? The politicians misuse the rights given to them. On the contrary, monarchy, if used right, could be very effective. It works very well because the monarch can really get things done, as he has no Congress or Parliament to convince to do things his way. The monarch acts like a president, but he has years of experience to add to the role of government advisor, having worked with many political parties over the years. My country is ruled by the monarchy. The prince and princess are nice people, and they've done a lot for our country.
Speaker C.
In reality, there are a lot of people who feel that monarchy is an expensive anachronism. In the UK, the monarchy is not nearly as costly to the taxpayers as some people think it is. They make far more money for Great Britain than they receive. The tourist trade became huge in the last century, much of it made from the royalty. The royals also raise enormous amounts of money for charities by being patrons of them. Besides, we do not have to elect a president, and this alone saves a lot of money. I'm sure Britain would be far less well off as a republic.
Speaker D.
The monarchy is thousands of years old, and it's steeped in tradition. One can say that the monarchy is a bit outdated, but it does have lots of advantages. First, it attracts plenty of tourists who love visiting Britain because of its rich cultural and historic heritage, which is mostly due to the royals. Everyone loves the royals, and they want to see Buckingham Palace. Did you see how many people were present at the wedding of Prince William and Princess Kate? Abolishing the monarchy would be the same as knocking down the Tower of London.
Speaker E.
The most well-organized nations in Europe are all monarchies. I don't think this is a coincidence. I think having a neutral monarch provides strength and unity in the country. The monarch provides a sense of continuity in terms of political and social change. While political parties change constantly, the sovereign continues as head of state, providing a stable framework within which a government can introduce wide-ranging reforms. And at least one part of the government is always there. Elected parties come and go, but the monarch is always there to ensure that the elected government is put in place.
Speaker F.
I would say most of us are a bit indifferent in our opinions on monarchy. Having never lived under a monarchy, we mostly don't have sufficient experience to really know what it is like to be under a monarch. However, I can't see any significant difference between a monarchy and a republic. Most of the Western European republics are almost no different in constitution from monarchy, except that they have a president instead of a king or queen to do formal stuff like summoning and dissolving parliament, calling elections, and appointing the prime minister. So, from a governmental point of view, there's absolutely no benefit.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers.
Задание 2. Вы услышите диалог. Определите, какие из приведенных утверждений A-G соответствуют содержанию текста. 1. True. Какие не соответствуют? 2. False. И о чем в тексте не сказано? То есть на основании текста нельзя дать ни положительного, ни отрицательного ответа. 3. Not stated. Занесите номер выбранного вами варианта ответа в таблицу. Вы услышите запись дважды. У вас есть 20 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданиями.
Now we are ready to start.
Hi, Pete. I just wondered if you fancied coming out for a coffee.
Oh, I was just writing a letter.
Writing a letter? Is your phone out of order?
No. Well, not exactly a letter. Ben's applied for a job at a children's summer camp, and they've asked me for a character reference. He must have put me down as one of his referees.
Oh, dear. You're not going to tell them the truth, are you?
What do you mean?
Well, that he's a big-headed show-off who goes out every night and never does a day's work.
Oh, come on. He's not that bad. I mean, kids love him. Do you remember the birthday party that he arranged for his little brother last month? It was really fantastic. And he always entertains his brother's friends with his magic tricks and silly jokes.
Oh, yes, he's great with children, but he's a big kid himself, isn't he?
Yes, I suppose he's a bit immature. You never know what he's up to.
And I hope they don't expect him to work before 4 o'clock in the afternoon. You know what he's like. He needs a bomb under him to get him up in the morning.
That's right. He's always late in the morning.
Also, he hates taking orders from anybody. Do you remember that job he had last summer in a restaurant? He ended up throwing a bucket of water over the chef when she asked him to wash the kitchen floor.
Oh, no. Don't remind me. He won't do anything he doesn't enjoy, will he? Mind you, he did run that restaurant single-handed when the chef and two of the waiters were off sick with food poisoning.
That's true. He's good in a crisis. But having said that, he's good at causing a crisis as well. I mean, you know the food poisoning was his fault, don't you?
Oh, yes. Oh, dear. This isn't helping. Yet, I think he could...
Hey, do you think he's still got blue hair?
Well, his appearance is rather strange, but kids find it rather attractive. Come on, let's go and get that coffee.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now, you will hear the text. Again.
Hi, Pete. I just wondered if you fancied coming out for a coffee.
Oh, I was just writing a letter.
Writing a letter? Is your phone out of order?
No. Well, not exactly a letter. Ben's applied for a job at a children's summer camp, and they've asked me for a character reference. He must have put me down as one of his referees.
Oh, dear. You're not going to tell them the truth, are you?
What do you mean?
Well, that he's a big-headed show-off who goes out every night and never does a day's work.
Oh, come on. He's not that bad. I mean, kids love him. Do you remember the birthday party that he arranged for his little brother last month? It was really fantastic. And he always entertains his brother's friends with his magic tricks and silly jokes.
Oh, yes, he's great with children, but he's a big kid himself, isn't he?
Yes, I suppose he's a bit immature. You never know what he's up to.
And I hope they don't expect him to work before 4 o'clock in the afternoon. You know what he's like. He needs a bomb under him to get him up in the morning.
That's right. He's always late in the morning.
Also, he hates taking orders from anybody. Do you remember that job he had last summer in a restaurant? He ended up throwing a bucket of water over the chef when she asked him to wash the kitchen floor.
Oh, no. Don't remind me. He won't do anything he doesn't enjoy, will he? Mind you, he did run that restaurant single-handed when the chef and two of the waiters were off sick with food poisoning.
That's true. He's good in a crisis, But having said that, he's good at causing a crisis as well. I mean, you know the food poisoning was his fault, don't you?
Oh, yes. Oh, dear. This isn't helping. Yet, I think he could...
Hey, do you think he's still got blue hair?
Well, his appearance is rather strange, but kids find it rather attractive. Come on, let's go and get that coffee.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers.
Задание 3.9. Вы услышите интервью с ученым. В заданиях 3.9 запишите в поле ответа цифру 1, 2 или 3, соответствующую выбранному вами варианту ответа. Вы услышите запись дважды. У вас есть 50 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданиями.
Now we are ready to start.
Dr. Dibb, what is ARCTUS?
ARCTUS stands for the Arctic Research of the Composition of the Troposphere from Aircraft and Satellites. It is part of the activities that are going on under the umbrella of the International Polar Year about every 40 or 50 years. 2008 and 2009 are two of those years when this is occurring after the last ones were in the 50s. This is the time when the international community comes together and focuses on polar aspects.
Why should we study the Arctic?
It's generally a very clean region because nobody or very few people actually live there. But there's a lot of pollution that is imported into those areas and transported there. So our main goal is to see how it is getting transported, where it is coming from, and what impact it might have on the regional climate in the Arctic region.
Why don't you use satellites to get this data?
The satellites do a good job of staying there for several years, so they do provide us a long-term view of things. They also cover a lot of territory, so they are more global in nature. But they don't do a very good job in terms of the details. They don't measure a lot of things that we need to know in order to understand the system, in order to be able to model it and to forecast or predict the changes in the future. So a lot of detailed observations we will be doing using airborne platforms are really not possible from satellites. But there is a second aspect. Things that are measurable from satellites require a lot of validation, because a satellite is really an indirect measure of things.
How does this study relate to climate change?
Given the recent loss of Arctic ice in 2007, which was unprecedented, this is a fortuitous time for us to be here looking at climate change in the Arctic. We're particularly interested in the atmospheric contribution to that. So, in the spring, we're looking at what is traditionally being described as Arctic haze. Besides, this Arctic haze has components that come from pollution transport from mid-latitude locations, such as North America, Europe, and Siberia.
So, are you looking at how carbon dioxide is related to climate change?
We're not only looking at carbon dioxide, which is the most recognisable greenhouse gas, but also at methane and CFCs and ozone, even more importantly. Ozone is a greenhouse gas that's not emitted by pollution, but is created by the chemistry of pollutants as they're transported to the Arctic. Trying to understand those things is an important part of this campaign.
What recent changes in the Arctic have made the ARCTUS mission really important?
One of the things that has been of great interest in the last few years is why the snow and ice are now melting earlier in the year and freezing up later, and, clearly, the air is a little warmer. There's also speculation that the dirt and black carbon that is in the Arctic haze that's deposited just as the sun is coming up may actually change the reflection of the snow and hasten the melt season. So, where is this black carbon coming from? Is it increasing or decreasing over time? And does it have a measurable effect on the reflection of the white surface as we come out of the winter in the Arctic? These questions are a major motivation behind Arctus.
What is your field of study and how does it relate to the Arctus mission?
We have a lot of similar issues, like where the air comes from that gets to a place like Greenland and how it gets out of the atmosphere and onto the ground. Recently, we've discovered that there's very active processing of the snow. When the sun shines on the snow, a lot of complicated chemistry happens that nobody knew about 10 years ago. I'm actually studying snow and air samples in Greenland to better understand ice core analyses that have been done by other folks in our group and in other areas of the world.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now, you will hear the text again.
Dr. Dibb, what is Arctus?
Arctus stands for the Arctic Research of the Composition of the Troposphere from Aircraft and Satellites. It is part of the activities that are going on under the umbrella of the International Polar Year about every 40 or 50 years. 2008 and 2009 are two of those years when this is occurring after the last ones were in the 50s. This is the time when the international community comes together and focuses on polar aspects.
Why should we study the Arctic?
It's generally a very clean region because nobody or very few people actually live there. But there's a lot of pollution that is imported into those areas and transported there. So our main goal is to see how it is getting transported, where it is coming from, and what impact it might have on the regional climate in the Arctic region.
Why don't you use satellites to get this data?
The satellites do a good job of staying there for several years, so they do provide us a long-term view of things. They also cover a lot of territory, so they are more global in nature. But they don't do a very good job in terms of the details. They don't measure a lot of things that we need to know in order to understand the system, in order to be able to model it and to forecast or predict the changes in the future. So a lot of detailed observations we will be doing using airborne platforms are really not possible from satellites. But there is a second aspect. Things that are measurable from satellites require a lot of validation, because a satellite is really an indirect measure of things.
How does this study relate to climate change?
Given the recent loss of Arctic ice in 2007, which was unprecedented, this is a fortuitous time for us to be here looking at climate change in the Arctic. We're particularly interested in the atmospheric contribution to that. So, in the spring, we're looking at what is traditionally being described as Arctic haze. Besides, this Arctic haze has components that come from pollution transport from mid-latitude locations, such as North America, Europe, and Siberia.
So, are you looking at how carbon dioxide is related to climate change?
We're not only looking at carbon dioxide, which is the most recognisable greenhouse gas, also at methane and CFCs and ozone even more importantly. Ozone is a greenhouse gas that's not emitted by pollution, but is created by the chemistry of pollutants as they're transported to the Arctic. Trying to understand those things is an important part of this campaign.
What recent changes in the Arctic have made the Arctus mission really important?
One of the things that has been of great interest in the last few years is why the snow and ice are now melting earlier in the year and freezing up later, and, clearly, the air is a little warmer. There's also speculation that the dirt and black carbon that is in the Arctic haze that's deposited just as the sun is coming up may actually change the reflection of the snow and hasten the melt season. So, where is this black carbon coming from? Is it increasing or decreasing over time? And does it have a measurable effect on the reflection of the white surface as we come out of the winter in the Arctic? These questions are a major motivation behind Arctus.
What is your field of study and how does it relate to the Arctus mission?
We have a lot of similar issues, like where the air comes from that gets to a place like Greenland and how it gets out of the atmosphere and onto the ground. Recently, we've discovered that there's very active processing of the snow. When the sun shines on the snow, a lot of complicated chemistry happens that nobody knew about 10 years ago. I'm actually studying snow and air samples in Greenland to better understand ice core analyses that have been done by other folks in our group and in other areas of the world.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers. This is the end of the listening test.
Время, отведенное на выполнение заданий, истекло.